I just couldn't get around to doing all the cliched earthquake songs today, but we'll certainly be hearing all about the Great Alaska Earthquake, the Good Friday Earthquake all day today around South Central Alaska and beyond. 8:45, it is Morning Line on KMBA. My name is Danny Preston. KMBA keeping you in tune with our community, and I am truly, truly excited to welcome our guest this morning. Mark Trahant is the current Atwood Chair of Journalism at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He's a member of Idaho's Shoshone-Bannock Tribes, former president of the Native American Journalists Association, or NAJA. He's the author of the book, The Last Great Battle of the Indian Wars, and was a major contributor to the Frontline series, The Silence. Mark Trahant, welcome to Morning Line.
Good morning, Danny.
What the heck do you do in your spare time?
I get up early.
you'd have to. I'm really excited to have you here because I've been trying to get you on the show a couple of times, and it finally worked out here. This is nice. But on to this really serious business first. The first thing I noticed this morning was a gentleman had posted a clip of you reciting a poem on Facebook this morning. So you're this, obviously internationally respected journalist and author, but you find time to write a poem every day?
Every day since 2008. It started as I was at the editorial page at the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. There was this new thing called Twitter. Nobody knew really what it was. And I just decided 140 characters, that might work for a rhyme. And after some experiments, started doing it and been doing it every day since 2008. So some 50,000 words.
Okay. Are they always timely?
Oh, they're always based on the news of that day. Absolutely.
Okay. Today's is a doozy. I would love to have you recite it.
Okay. Short on the side and fluffy on top. Oh, to sport Kim Jong-un's flop. A celebrity look, promising awe. Except in North Korea, it's practically law.
I love it. All the news yesterday was about Kim Jong-un decrees that all North Korean males will have to have a haircut like him. And as I mentioned earlier this morning, the guy, I don't want to be derogatory, but the guy's not exactly Brad Pitt. But it turns out that now the media is saying today, well, it's not required. I mean, he was sure to love it. But anyways, thank you very much. And it's so great to have really highbrow literature like that discussed on the program by a noted journalist. So.
I think it's more Burma-shaved than highbrow, but nonetheless.
I like that. Okay. So a lot to talk about in just a few minutes here, but I wanted to talk about your book. Recently, a couple of weeks ago, you did a presentation at the UAA bookstore about the violence against a Women Act. Can you give us a kind of a brief synopsis of kind of what that was about, of course, in honor of sure. Women's History Month?
Sure. Well, one of the great unresolved issues in Alaska is the role of tribal governments and what authority tribal governments can have. And the Violence Against Women Act was really an extraordinary thing where it had no chance of passage. It was stuck in Congress. And then a really brave young woman, Deborah Parker, gave a press conference where she talked about her own abuse. And Patty Murray, the senator from Washington, right, said she just silenced the Senate. That changed the entire debate. But the sad part about that was Alaska was exempted. In fact, they call it Alaska.
Why? What's up with that?
Because of this unresolved issue about tribal governments and their power. What the law does nationally is allows tribal courts to try anybody for violence against women, tribal member or not. And it starts slowly and it's going to build kind of as a model and then go across the country. The high rates of violence tend to be Indians have the highest and Alaska Natives have the highest intermarriage of any group. And because of that, a lot of the perpetrators might be not members of the tribe. Mm-hmm. And the Congress looked at the evidence and decided the best way forward was to allow tribal prosecutions, because that was the only way that was going to address the problem. The fact is that most of the crimes weren't prosecuted.
Now, is the situation we find ourselves in Alaska, is that related to, the phenomenon that we don't have a traditional reservation, except for Metlakatla, that we don't have a traditional reservation setup structure?
Right. And I think it's one of those unresolved issues where tribal authority is seen as in Alaska by one group as requiring land in order to make it so, whereas most jurisdictions don't have land.
Right.
Their geographic distribution. And so that it's just an unresolved issue. And I think it's going to have to be addressed over time for Alaska to be the kind of place it wants to be.
How's that going to get resolved, or is it?
Through negotiation,
okay.
Through people sitting down and having adult conversations with respect. The chairman of the Law and Order Commission, I was at Tanana Chiefs last week, and he put it really bluntly, and he said Alaska has to stop declaring war on its own citizens. And I think that's probably where it has to change.
Okay. And I think a really important part of that is presentations like your recent one, where we can really try to advance that sort of dialogue, that discourse.
Right. Yeah. And I'm optimistic. It can be worked out. It takes patient resolve and the idea that you can make a community better for all the people involved.
Yeah. Switching gears just a little bit. The book you wrote, The Last Great Battle of the Indian Wars, we talked a couple of weeks ago, and you said, I don't really need to talk about that book because I got a new edition coming out. So you write a nonfiction book, and, you know, if a textbook you expect, oh, you got the second, third, fourth edition, but you're actually, the book's going to go back in and be reprinted, but you're actually updating it and it's going to be revised?
It's being revised as we speak. I actually had a meeting with my editor this week. Yes, some things have changed since the book was written. The big one is Forrest Gerard, the main character in the book, has passed away, and I want to update people about that. And one of the things that got me thinking about it was I went to his funeral in Albuquerque, and President Obama sent a beautiful letter. And I thought, this is something that ought to be recorded for history, about this man's contribution to history. So that will be in there. Plus, I want to look at what's happened since the Indian Self-Determination Act was passed. What's the 40-year experience? What's the pros? What's
okay.
the cons? What can we do better?
Okay. Awesome. In the radio business, record business, we would say, what's the street date? When is it going to be really? Do you have a release date for it?
September 26th, and it's a hard date because there's an exhibit opening at the National Museum of the American Indian on treaties, and they want examples of modern treaties, and this book has a couple.
Oh, tremendous. Good timing. Your book is also got certainly some notoriety in Washington, D.C. What's the tie-in with the Smithsonian there?
Well, they have this really great exhibit opening called Treaties, and the idea of the exhibit is that the formal treaty period ended in the 19th century, but that treaties are ongoing, and there's always this relationship between tribal governments in the United States.
And they're never abrogated. They work like a piece of cake, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's complicated, but, I mean, some aspects are held up, and that's what makes it so interesting is that this ongoing negotiation process between tribes and the federal government and states.
Couple of things I want to touch on yet in the time we've got left. A reminder, it is Morning Line on KNBA. Our guest this morning is Mark Trahant, the current Atwood Chair of Journalism at the University of Alaska Anchorage. It is 8:53. A very esteemed chair at UAA, former president of the Native American Journalists Association, and a Twittermeister. So make that somewhat congruent for us, because you are presenting tonight, or you're actually facilitating a lecture tonight, right. Atwood Lecture, about journalism and social media. These are not mutually exclusive anymore.
Now, I think this is a really remarkable time, both for journalism and journalism education. You're seeing jobs being created that never existed before. And a report actually came out yesterday that said 50,000 jobs were created in this new media field that's just exploding. One example from the world of sports is this publication called Bleacher Report. It was all volunteers when it began a few years ago. It now has 170 journalists working on it.
Wow.
So this is an exciting time for young people. But I think we need to look at the framework of that. What works and what needs work is kind of the dividing line I use. And one thing that we know we missed with the old media is it wasn't representative. There's not enough voices from broad representatives of society, including Indian country and American Indians and Alaska Natives. And I think we have to make sure that this next round of media, we don't make the same mistakes, that it does reflect kind of the full spectrum of society.
It's a real opportunity to get away from that sort of a myopic, blinders on, and polarized sort of view that we've all been used to. So what exactly is gonna happen? The Atwood Lecture is Journalism in the Digital Age. It's tonight, the Fine Arts Building, room 150 at UAA from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. And you're going to be facilitating it. Who else is going to be there, or what's going to be going on?
It's going to be a great mix. We're going to have media professionals. Several have already promised to be there. Students, and then folks from the general public. And I'm hoping a lot of people come for that to get into it. I have a very short, I'm hoping it's the shortest Atwood lecture in history, roughly 10 minutes. And then I'm just going to get into the audience with a microphone and start a conversation. And I hope that it's a deep conversation, not just people spouting, I'm mad at the media because, but yeah, then yeah. Why and what can we do to make create our own media? I mean, think about when I was first an editorial page editor, the reaction from media was I would write, they would write a letter back. It would be a very slow interaction. But now it's all instant. Now people are reacting, creating, adding stuff. And that discourse really makes this country stronger if we do it well.
You know, and that rapid dissemination of information, I asked you before we went on the air, where can I go read you right now? And I'm thinking of publications, and you said, well, TreyHuntReports.com.
Right.
Yeah, or TreyHuntReports on Facebook. Of course. What a silly question, Danny. this is the digital age. So Journalism in the Digital Age is a presentation tonight. Okay, we got about another minute or so. And we want to talk about extremely epical deadline that's coming up in 4 days that we're concerned with.
Sure, the Affordable Care Act. And what's really important for American Indians and Alaska Natives to think about is that this is the first opportunity ever in the history of the country for full funding for the Indian health system. But in order to make that work, people have to sign up and they have to get insurance to add to the money. Right now, the Indian Health Service, about $4 billion is from appropriations and about $1 billion for Medicaid and about $90 million from private insurance. If we could boost those last two numbers, we could actually get full funding.
Okay. And one thing, have been some questions out over the last day or so, and I've been talking with some folks about from the Department of Agriculture, of all people, about applying for the Affordable Care Act for coverage, a.k.a. Obamacare, of course. And the primary thing is the deadline is the 31st. You may have read news reports yesterday that President Obama had announced an extension for the process for applying. But the thing to stress there is don't wait until middle of April. What they've extended it. Application process has to be started still by the 31st.
Right.
So that's
right.
Very important. Mark Trehant, an absolute delight to have you on the program this morning. You come back and see us?
Happy to.
Okay, wonderful. TreyHuntReports.com and the Atwood Lecture, Journalism in the Digital Age, once again this evening, 7 until 9, Fine Arts Building, room 150 on the UAA campus. It's going to be a good time. Okay, thanks for joining us on Morning Live.
Thank you, Dan.
And if you or your organization has information you'd like to share with our community, you can reach us by email. It's feedback@kmba.org. The fax is 793-3536. Or you can stop on by, say hi. We're in the Natuk Nonprofit Center at 3600 San Geronimo Drive right here in Anchorage. That is it for Morning Line. Tomorrow it is TGIF. Till then, have yourself a great day. Be safe and hug the kids.
Aukerville River have a riveting new album called The Silver Gymnasium, all about the town where lead singer and songwriter Will Schaff grew up, Meriden, New Hampshire. The band joins us next time, and we have an in-depth conversation with Will as well. I'm David Dye, a new Latin Roots segment, too, coming up on the next World Cafe.
The World Cafe, weeknights at 6 p.m. on 90.3 KNBA. Music matters.
Yalida.
Doyinta.
Jamai. Koyana ni chuganilut. You're listening to KNBA Anchorage 90.3.